Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Chof Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur on the seventh line from the top of Daf Chof Hey, in the middle of the line, Hechon Omro Torah. At the end of our last shiur, we had given a number of sources that it is forbidden to burn Shemen Truma Shinitmes, that's Truma oil that became Tomei, on Yom Tov, because of the rule of Ein Sorfin Kodshim B'Yom Tov. And we had a number of Makoros at the end of Daf Chof Dalet for that point. However, we inferred from that that it, on Yom Tov it's forbidden, but on a weekday it is allowed to burn, one is allowed to burn Shemen Truma Shinitmes, and not only to burn it, but one can derive benefit from it. And hence, it was necessary to teach in our Mishnah that you can't light Shabbos candles with Shemen Truma Shinitmes. But if it were in the middle of the week, you could light candles with Shemen Truma Shinitmes. Here the Gemara wants to know, where does the Torah tell us this, that you can derive benefit from Truma oil that became Tomei? By way of markings, you can see some diamonds coming up on the margin of our Gemara, under our Nosei Mivneh heading. We have an indication that this marking scheme will last till Omid Beis. The diamonds represent Makoros, sources Shemutu Lehonos Mishemen Truma Shinit Meis Bishas Biur, that one is allowed to benefit from Truma oil that became Tomei at the time that it is being burnt. So the Gemara, having asked the question, where does it say thusly? Number one, Midu Rav Nachman. We can learn from Rav Nachman's teaching. Yom Rav Nachman, Omar Rabba Baravua, Omar Kro. The Pasuk says, Va'ani hine nosati lucho es mishmeres trumosai. And behold, I have given you the guarding of my trumos. B'shtei trumos akos medaber. In this Pasuk, the word truma appears in the plural. So there's a reference to two trumos. Achas truma tahira v'achas truma tameya. Both tohor truma and tomei truma. V'omar rachmono lecha. And the Torah says, unto you, which means shelcha tehe, it is yours for your benefit. La'asika tachas tefshilach. To burn it under your food. In other words, you can use it as fuel for cooking up food. So from here we see that Truma Tameya is given to us to benefit from. We should note, by the way, that the teaching we just read indicates you're entitled to benefit from two kinds of Truma. Tohor Truma, though, one should be careful with, is one is not allowed to burn Tohor Truma. One is allowed to benefit from it, of course, by eating it. Of course, if he is a Kohen. When it comes to Truma Tameya, one is also allowed to benefit from it, but that is benefit that's much more limited to benefit while you are burning it. And as we said, you can use it as a fuel. Vibo Esema, another source, Mida Rabbi Avo, from Rabbi Avo's teaching, Yom Rabbi Avo, Om Rabbi Yochanan. This is a posuk from Meiser Sheni. Meiser Sheni is another type of tithe, as opposed to Truma, which is also a tithe. In the case of Meiser Sheni, which is separated from one's produce on the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the Shemitah sabbatical agricultural cycle, during these years, one brings a tenth of his produce to Yerushalayim and is expected to eat it there. And he's also expected to make sure it doesn't become Tomei. And the Pasuk says, there's a declaration that a person makes after the third and after the sixth year of the truma of the let's say Meiser cycle, one makes a declaration. As we said, at the end of the third year, after the third year and after the sixth year, and a person says as follows: "V'lo bi'arti mimenu b'tomei," and I didn't burn it when it was tomei. And we infer, Mimenu i'atomavir, Meiser sheni, one does not burn and benefit from when it becomes tamei. Avalatomavir shemen shel truma shenit meis. But you are entitled to burn truma. This is a diuk, as we said, an inference. But truma, you are allowed to burn and benefit from when it becomes tamei. The Gemara asks, and this piece of Gemara, we have a nosei, an introduction on the side that we've written to introduce this. And the nosei is, we call this hamshech, it's a continuation. Rabbi Avo lo made heter hanal. Rabbi Avo had learned the heter of benefiting from truma oil that became tamei, midiuk mi maisur sheni she'osu hamnes menu, from an inference from maisur sheni where it's forbidden to benefit from. Bamshech ha'gemara tishal loma mimatim truma velo kodesh. Why is it that we make our inference in the direction of leniency with regard to truma, and we don't make an inference to allow the benefit of kodshim, of sacrifices that became tamei while they are burning? Klomar, she'osu lehenos mikodshim shenitmu kamo maisur sheni umutur lehenos mitruma shenitmeis. So why is it like that? So we have one given, and the given is that maisur sheni you're not allowed to benefit from once it becomes tamei. Something else you are allowed to benefit from when it becomes tamei, and you are burning it, and we say that is truma, but not kodshim. So the Gemara asks here, v'ema mimenu. We're back in the Gemara at the beginning of the line. The word v'ema, v'ema mimenu. I atomavir, aval atomavir shemen shel kodesh nitma. Why not say meiser sheni? You're not allowed to benefit from when you are burning it after it had become tamei. But shemen of truma, but kodesh, that's sacrificial oil that became tamei, you burn and are allowed to benefit. Well, why don't we say that? The Gemara answers, I can't say that. Lav kal v'chomer who? Is it not to follow through kal v'chomer logic that we shall prohibit kodesh oil that became tomei? And what's the kal v'chomer logic? Ma meiser hakal, mind you, meiser sheni, which is a relatively lenient area of halacha, omro Torah lo biyarti meimer b'kodesh. The Torah expects a person to make the declaration that he did not benefit from it when it became tomei, when he was burning it. Kodesh chomur lo kol shekein. When it comes to kodesh, all the more so, which kodesh, if you compare the rules of meiser sheni, you'll see that meiser sheni is a much more lenient area than the realm of kodesh. And nevertheless, in this lenient area, we say that a person is not allowed to burn meiser sheni shenit meis and benefit from it. Kodesh, all the more so, one would not have that allowance. More asks, well, Ihachi, if you're working with kal v'chomer logic, truma nami lema kal v'chomer hu, truma is more severe, more stringent than meiser sheni, and if by meiser sheni you are restricted from benefiting from it when burning meiser sheni became tamei, then all the more so with regard to truma. The Gemara says, well, I know there's this kal v'chomer, however, on the other hand, hoksiv mimenu. But there is the mimenu word that we saw before, from which we infer a leniency. Namely, this word mimenu, you can see we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, just to remind you where this came from. We saw above that we are to derive an inference, namely, by Maisur Sheni there is this restriction, but by something else there is not. And that something else we chose is Truma, where we will be lenient. The Gemara asks, Uma Rois, what is it that you saw to exclude Truma from the restriction? Answer, Mistabro Kodesh Lo Mam Itna. It's most likely that Kodesh, I won't exclude from the stringency of Meiser Sheni. Why is it that by Kodesh I will maintain this stringency like by Meiser Sheni? Shekein Simen Punk Achas. Here we have, these are not words, they're abbreviations. They're mnemonic devices. There are six letters in these two expressions, Punk Achas. and they represent six areas of stringency that you find in the realm of Kochim. So since we find six areas of stringency in the realm of Kochim, that indicates to me that I can't be lenient with regard to kachim and allow the benefit from kachim shid tamayim when you to benefit from it while it's being burnt. So what are these six points of stringency? So first we read them: pigul, nosar, korban, meila, v'kores, osur l'oinein. What we've done with our markings is we've underlined the letters that correspond to the mnemonic pank achas, each one of the letters that form that abbreviation. So these are six areas of halacha. Pigul is a case situation where you slaughter a korban with an incorrect mindset regarding time, power, place, and the korban is rendered unfit. And if one eats a korban that was slaughtered or processed with this pigul mindset, he will be chayav the severe kores penalty. Nosar is sacrificial meat that was actually left over beyond its time. That also is carries with it a severe penalty. Korban. It is a sacrifice. It's something that's brought in the Beis HaMikdash. Mi'ila. It carries with it the mi'ila violation if one derives personal benefit from it, from that which is designated as a sacrifice. And finally, at the Kores, Kachim carries with it when someone, let us say, eats it when he's in a state of tumah. He will be chayev kores, which is a very severe type penalty, where he may it's a reference to dying young and leaving no offspring, no one to follow. He leaves no descendants. Also, la'onein, someone who had a close relative that died, and he hasn't buried him yet. It is also for him to eat kachim. Truma, on the other hand, doesn't carry with it any of these restrictions that were just mentioned. And the last one included, a Kohen who is an Onain, who has his close relative that just died, and he hasn't been buried yet, is allowed to eat from his Truma. The Gemara asks, Adarabo, Truma lo mam itno shekein machpaz simen. But Truma shouldn't be excluded from the severity, the stringency of that which we mentioned by the Maisu Sheni, that you're not allowed to benefit from it while it's burning. For Truma has four areas of stringency, and they are Misa. Misa is a reference to Misa Bidei Shemaim. If a non-Kohen eats Truma, so he is subject to death at the hands of heaven. Chomesh, someone who benefits from the Truma that is not allowed to, he has to pay not only the principal, but he has to add a fifth. And this is something that does not happen in the case of Kochim. The Ein Lo Pidyon, there's no redemption that has relevance to the case of Truma. Whereas Kochim, there is a concept of redemption. For example, a sacrifice that developed a mum before it was sacrificed, it can be redeemed. V'asura l'zorim. Truma is at all times forbidden to non-Kohanim, which is not the case of Korbanos. There are many Korbanos that a non-Kohen is allowed to partake of. So we see that Truma has its list of stringency. So the question comes back as to why is it that Truma is allowed to benefit from it when it became Tomei and is burning it, and Kochim, we don't allow you to benefit from it. The Gemara answers, Hanoch Nefishon, the list of stringencies that characterize Kochim is a longer list. By the way, we're at the top of Omid Beis. V'iboy Seima, now the second line from the top of Omid Beis, another answer is Kodesh Chomor Shekein Onush Kores. Regardless of the amount of items in the list, Kodesh is simply more severe than Truma, because the ultimate penalty associated with the consumption of Kochim when one is Tomei carries with it a kores penalty, whereas one who would eat truma shenitmes, or one who is tomei, that is, one who is tomei that ate truma, he would be chayav only misa b'dei shemayim, which is a lesser severe thing. As Rashi points out, he might be subject to death at the hands of heaven, but it doesn't mean his offspring are cut off, or it doesn't mean that he'll leave this world without leaving descendants, which is the case when you're dealing with a Koreis penalty. So this last point, once again, Kodesh is Chomer, because if one is eating Kodshim betumas haguf, when he himself is Tomei, he's Chayev Koreis, whereas if one is Tomei and eats Truma, he is Chayev only Misa Bidei Shemaim and not Koreis. A third Mokar, a third diamond, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok Omar, Omar Kro, we're again looking for, this is a third source, looking for a mocker that one is allowed to benefit from truma, shemen truma shenitmes, while it is being burnt. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok says, Omar Kro, the Pasuk says, titain lo. Rashi, on the first narrow line, Reishis degoncha titen lo, is a pasuk. Reishis, the first of your grains, you give to the kohen. That means that's the first tithe, and that's given to the kohen as truma. And we infer from it, you give it to him. That means to him to eat. Veloi, it's loi velo loiro. Give it to him, and not for its light. It's not to be burnt. It's rather given to him for eating purposes. So the pasuk, by virtue of the fact the pasuk had to exclude it from being used for light, michlal debas orahud, implies that it has in it some inherent lighting possibility. So from the fact that we had to be memayit it, we're basically saying that when it's tahor, so you can't use it for its lighting feature. However, when it's Tomei, so you can burn it as fuel. Rashi points this out. On that Rashi on the first narrow line, Reishis Don Hutin Lov, Loloro, Mikan Shein Tormin Min HaTomei Al HaTor. From here we learn that you can't tithe Tomei items, Tomei food items, to exempt that which is Tor, Dichtiv Titen Lo, Dovo Roy Lo Lechol. You have to give the coin something that he is entitled, he is able to eat. Velo lo seis leoro lahasik, and not something that all he can do with it is use it for fuel. Umidi itzterich lim ute, from the fact that we had to exclude that possibility, mechal debas oro hi lahasok, it implies that shemen, that truma shenitmes itself, is something that one can use for fuel. So once again, to go over this last source, the pasuk of Titen Lo tells us you don't tithe truma. You don't tithe food or foods that became Tomei to exempt your Tohor foods. Rather, you have to give the Kohen something he can eat. Showing us, implying us that the Tomei food that you thought to give to him, its only use would have been for fuel. Showing us, though, that Truma Shenitmes is useful for fuel. All that the Torah is telling us, don't use the Truma Shenitmes, don't use the food Shenitmes as Truma to exempt the other food that the Kohen could actually eat. But in the event that you have Truma Shenitmes, in fact, that can be burnt and used as fuel. Rabbi Yishmoel Oimer, Ein Madlikin Be'itron. Here the Gemara asks, my timea, why is Itron an unacceptable fuel for Shabbos candles? Oma Rabo Mitoch Shereicho Ra, since it has a foul odor to it, Gzeiro Shemo Yanicheno Vietze, we're afraid that a person will, after having lit that for his Shabbos candles, he'll get up and leave. Omar Le Abaye Vietze. So what? So what? He'll get up and leave. Omar Le Shani Omer, and here we have an answer that lasts a number of lines, hence we use a long answer marking. Rava answers Abaye. He says, I hold Shani Omer Hadlokas Ner B'Shabbos Choyva. In order to appreciate this, we look at Rashi. Chova, Kvoid Shabbos Hu. It's part of the honor of Shabbos to have Shabbos candles lit. She'ein suda chashuva el b'mokom or. A meal doesn't have its required importance unless it's eaten in light. Ke'ein yamama, like daylight. So a meal doesn't have chashivas unless it's in light. So since one has a Shabbos meal, it has to be in light. And if you're going to light itron as your Shabbos with as the fuel for your Shabbos candles, the foul odor will cause you to get up and walk away, and you won't have your meal in light. The Gemara continues. The Omar Rav Nachman bar Rav Zavda, the Amri Law, another version of the names. Omar Rav Nachman bar Rova, Omar Rav, Hadlokas Ner B'Shabbos Chova. The requirement of lighting Shabbos candles is obligatory, as we just explained. The following piece of Gemara, you'll notice, has is bracketed. And we have a note indicating the reason for these brackets. Besocha sogram agmora mityacheses lurechitza bechamin be'erev Shabbos. Within the bracketed section, the Gemara focuses on another aspect of Shabbos preparation. And that's why we have it all in brackets, so as to set things apart one from the other. So up till now, we had Rav. We also double underlined him. And you'll see the purpose of this marking in a moment. And we have an indication that this is halacha number one. So Rav says that hadlokas ner b'shabbos chova. Rav also says, now we go into the brackets, he says a second point. Urechitzas yodayim v'raglayim b'chamen arvis rishus. And the need for lighting, for washing one's limbs before Shabbos, is optional, is rishus. Now that's Rav. V'ani omer mitzvah. The ani omer is Rav Nachman bar Rova, who was quoting Rav before. He says, and I personally say it's a mitzvah. And that's a reference to this rechitzas yadayim v'raglayim b'chamen, washing of one's limbs before Shabbos. My mitzvah. What do you mean by that? That it's a mitzvah to do this? The Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav. Kach hoyo min hogoi sherab Yehuda bar Beloi. This thusly was the practice of Rav Yehuda bar Beloi. Erev Shabbos mevi'in lo arevom le'ochamen. On Erev Shabbos they bring him a bowl full of warm water. V'roichetz ponov yodav v'raglov. He would wash his face, his arms, his legs. U'misatev. And he would cloak himself in linens that had tzitzis in the corners of this garment in which he cloaked himself. And he appeared like an angel of the Almighty. His students hid the corners of their garments. Omar lehen bonai. Rav Yehuda Rav Beloi turned to them and said, noticing that they were hiding the corners of their garments, and we should point out that here we're getting involved with a sugya that is focused on the issue of having tzitzis in a linen garment. And one should know that tzitzis in the original form essentially is are strings, and part of the strings is a wool string that's dyed in a tcheles, a bluish color dye, and that was the wool string that was part of his tzitzis arrangement. And in general, you're probably familiar with the prohibition of mixing wool and linen. That's called shatnez. And in our story, we have Rabbi Yehuda Beloi and his students present wearing these linen garments. And Rabbi Yehuda Rav Beloi had his linen garments with proper tzitzis in it, which would mean there was a wool string amongst the strings forming his tzitzis. The students hid the corners of their garments, arousing Rabbi Yehuda Rav Beloi's reaction to them. Now, why were they hiding the corners of their garments? Because they didn't have tzitzis in the corners of their garments. Now, we have to note, according to Tosfos, they did have tzitzis, they had linen strings, but they didn't have the wool string in their tzitzis. So the Gemara continues, Omar lehen bonai, so Rabbi Yehuda Rav Beloi turns to them and says, my sons, lokach shonisi lechem, did I not teach you sodin b'tzitzis? that's linen garments having proper tzitzis in them, and proper tzitzis involves having the woolen string as well. It's true, Beis Shammai exempts, but Beis Hillel obligates. And this is a function of how you learn the psukim in the Torah. According to Beis Shammai, he doesn't learn smuchin. It means the proximity of one pasuk to the other, where you have one pasuk forbidding shatnez, and following that you have the pasuk saying that you shall have tzitzis in your garments. But Beis Hillel does darshan smuchin, and the result of that comes out is that true, there's an iser of shatnez, but that iser doesn't apply when it comes to tzitzis. So Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi is wondering, why is it that they don't have tzitzis in the, why don't they have proper tzitzis, using Tosfos's pshat, in the corners of their garments? The inhu savri, the students were of the opinion, gezeira mishum ksus laila, that when it comes to linen garments, it's true that on a Torah level, there should be, like Beis Hillel says, the proper tzitzis with the wool in them. However, if one were to wear a night garment, and a night garment is not obligated to have tzitzis in it, because the pasuk says regarding tzitzis, ureisemo, so you should be able to see the corners. At night, one doesn't see corners. And therefore, night garments are exempt. So we're afraid that if we would practice having the proper tzitzis in linen garments, he'll put them in his night garments as well. And if he were to do that, it's a case of tzitzis shelo b'moko mitzvah, where there's no mitzvah of tzitzis, and you're left with the basic shatnez violation. So, therefore, the Chachomim, exercising their power of yesh koyach chumla kodor minator b'shevi al taseh, they said that linen garments should not have the tzitzis with the wool string in it, because of this fear of having proper tzitzis in a night garment. The Gemara continues, "Batiznach misholom nafshi noshisi toiva." My batiznach misholom nafshi. This pasuk indicates a loss of peace. What does the shalom refer to? Omar Ravi Avo, zu hadlokas ner b'shabbos. This is a reference to Shabbos candles. Shabbos candles, something that generates peace. As Rashi says here, hadlokas ner b'shabbos shelohoya lo mima lahadlik uvemokim she'ein ner ein shalom. If there's no light, there's no peace. Shaholech v'nichshal v'holech b'afela. Person walks and stumbles, and that's not quite a situation that we could call one of peace. There's another girsa that the Bach features, and that is v'oichel b'afila, where he eats in darkness. And we saw that before in the Rashi, which featured shalom beso. We continue in the Gemara. The pasuk we just quoted mentioned also noshisi tova. Omar Rebbe Avo, noshisi again is was removed from goodness. What is the toiva? So we have several pshatim on this. Omar Rebbe Yirmiya, zu beis hamerchatz, a lack of a bathhouse. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, zu ruchitzas yadayim v'raglayim b'chamin, the ability of washing one's limbs in warm water. Rabbi Yitzchok Nafcha Omar, zu mito noa v'kelim noim shaleo, this is a nice bed with nice bed spreadings. Rabbi Abba Omar, zu mito mutzas v'isha mikushetis l'tamidi chachomim, this is a prepared bed and a woman with jewelry and ornaments for Talmidei Chachamim. Rashi doesn't mention this explicitly, but it could very well be that all of this is in the context of Shabbos, just like the Hadlokas Ner Shabbos was the first part of the Pasuk. Vatiznach Misholem Nafshi Noshisi Tova is a reference to these other elements where one gets ready for Shabbos by going to the bathhouse or washing his body with warm water, or having a nice bed and beddings for the Shabbos meal. And the fourth point also has a relevance to Shabbos, as the Gemara in Ksubis mentions that the Oino of Talmidei Chachamim is from Me'erev Shabbos Le'erev Shabbos. Tonu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source, and before we learn the source, though we are going to be learning the source on a superficial level, however, we highly recommend looking into the Marasha commentary in order to appreciate the depth behind this source. Tonu Rabbanan. Eize Oshir. Who is considered an Oshir? Kol Shieshlo Nachas Ruach Ba'oshro. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Anyone who has pleasure from his wealth. How true this statement is. There are so many situations of the people that are rather opulent, but don't have pleasure from it. Simen Mem Tes Kuf Samach Mat Kas. These are, a mnemonic, a means of remembering the four opinions that will be featured here. The first we already saw, and our underlinings are designed to correspond with this simen. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, what is an Oshir? Who is an Oshir? Kol Shiesh Lo Mea Kromim Umea Sados Umea Avodim Sho'ivdin Bohen. Anyone who has 100 vineyards, 100 fields, and 100 servants working in them. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Kol Shiesh Lo Isha No B'Ma'asim. Anyone who has a wife whose ways are pleasant. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kol Shiesh Lo Beis Hakisei Somuch L'Shulchano. Anyone who is fortunate to have a bathroom facility near his table. As we said, we read through this source, but the Marsha elaborates, and we highly recommend looking into that. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elozer Omer, Ein Madlikin Betzori. One is not allowed to use a tzori substance as fuel. My time, why not? Omar Rabo mitoch shereicho nodev, since it has a positive aroma, gzeiro shemi yistapik mimenu. We're afraid that he might draw from the tzori fuel, and in drawing fuel from a burning candle, he is in violation of the malacha of mechabeh, of extinguishing. And that is, the concept of extinguishing goes beyond just simply blowing out a flame, but the drawing of the fuel from a burning candle also constitutes mechabeh. Omar Le Abaye. Abaye asks, and this is a, more now continues at the top of Chof Vov Amad Aleph, Le Mor Mitnei Shu Of. Why not say the problem with tzori as a fuel is because it literally it flies, but it means it's a highly flammable material. And since that's the case, Rashi explains at the top, Shu Of V'Nidbak B'Kos Le'Bayis U'Madlik Es Abayis. It's highly flammable, and it can fly and catch on one of the walls of the house and cause the house to burn down. So why not say that that is the problem? Tosfos at the top adds a little more to this. When he sees his house burning, he'll be all concerned about his wealth. And he'll come to put out the fire. And of course, putting out fires on Shabbos is forbidden. So why did he originally give as the reason for ushering for forbidding? Sorry, the problem of it being recho nodeh. The Gemara answers, Chada v'od Kamar. In fact, both are the case, one and another, he said. Number one, Chada v'nei shu'of, because of its highly flammable nature. V'yo gzero shemo yistapik mimeno. And secondly, because he might come to draw from it. And now we have a story that I would call a Shas classic. Hahi Chamsa, there was a mother-in-law, Dehavis Senia Lo Lekalsa, whose daughter-in-law hated her. Omra La, so the daughter-in-law said to her mother-in-law, Zil Ikshit B'mashcha Da'afarsimo. Why not put on some afarsimon oil? It's a type of perfume, we'll say. Ozla Ikshit. So the mother-in-law, hearing this offer, went ahead and put on this afarsimon perfume. Ki osis, when she came, Omra La, so the daughter-in-law says to her mother-in-law, Zil Itli Shraga. Would you kindly light this? Light the candle. Ozla itla shraga. She went and lit the candle. Impach ba nura the achlisa, and the fire caught on her and consumed her. Apparently, this afarsima is similar, is a highly flammable substance, and it's brought then in the context of the tzori that was mentioned just before. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.